comedy caravan starring Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, with music by Roy Bargy and his orchestra and songs by George Gibb. The Bargy Men opened the show with one of the season's top tunes. Hit it, Roy.
Well, friends, we bring you now a young man who in a few days will celebrate his 30th birthday. A young man who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And now every time he goes in a restaurant, he tries to complete the set. And here he is, our co-star and little birthday boy, Gary Moore.
Thank you very much, my friends, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. What Howard said is true. I am having a birthday in a few days, and I want you to know right now that I'm inviting a lot of people to my house, and your presence are requested.
Say, Gary, by the way, did you get the present I sent, that beautiful hook rod?
Oh, yes, I got it, Howard, but I had to send it back. The police found out who you hooked it from.
Gary, I guess you've got a lot of memories from your 30 long years.
Oh, yes, Howard. Gee, I've had a lot of fun. At the age of 5, I kissed my first girl, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
I was 5, and she was 4. It took me 3 days to scrape the bubble gum off my chin. Then, Howard, I went to school, and I'm ashamed to tell you this, but on my first day there, the teacher made me turn my face to the wall.
Was you a bad boy?
No, her garter broke. Right at school. But then, Howard, then I went to college to be an engineer. You know, I wanted to learn how to build those big double highways.
Well, what college do you go to learn that?
Tulane. You've heard of the Tulane highways. Mother hit me to a buggy. I'm really pulling them tonight. Let me tell you, Howard.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Moore, you superannuated man.
Mrs. Wordle, I'm glad to see you.
You are?
Yes, it's so nice to know somebody I'll always look younger than. Tell me, dear, what... That makes two of you. Tell me, dear, what's that you got on your face? Tell me, what's that you got on your face? Seems to be a sly expression.
Oh, and small wonder, Mr. Moore. I heard about your birthday, so I brought you a box of your favorite candy.
Well, isn't that not... Hey, wait a minute. This box is half empty.
Yes, it's my favorite, too.
Oh, well, I appreciate the thought, anyhow.
Well, I know how birthdays are. You So, like you, I too am in the neighborhood of 30.
You are. You've been in this neighborhood a long time, haven't you? Well, I know how you feel about hiding your age. Gee whiz, this year I'm 30, in 10 years I'll be 40. And the first thing I know, I'll find myself an old man.
Oh, good. While you're looking, find a young one for me.
Isn't that awful? If she's a member of the human race, no wonder the government abolished racing. And with my birthday to one side, let's lend an ear to that ageless character, the one and only Jimmy Durante in person.
What a note!
Yes, and what a voice. It is not only dissonant in the extreme, take confidence to the utmost and abominably beyond its measure, but it also has the euphony of a sanitation vehicle crossing a corrugated trestle.
I wonder how much of that is good.
But anyway, Junior, you're looking at a man who's worn to a fizzle.
What's the matter, Jimmy?
It's my laundry situation. It's been so bad that instead of sleeping on sheets, I had to sleep on newspapers. Last night I didn't sleep a wink.
You didn't?
No. Superman kept getting up in the middle of the night. And what's more, Gravel Gertie kept tickling me with her mop.
Well, that's life.
Yes, that's life.
Yes, it sure is.
Sure is.
Yes, sir, that's life.
Certainly is. I wonder whatever happened to the art of conversation.
Well, Jimmy, it's this way.
Don't enlighten me. I'm expecting a call. A call from my secret agent in France. I wish that phone would ring. How do you like that? Mental telegraphy. Hello?
Bonjour, Monsieur Dorothy. Comment se va ce soir bien, j'ai pris?
Oui, oui, monsieur.
Donnez-moi votre preuve d'honneur. Et je vous dis, était-il?
Oui, oui, monsieur. Excellent garçon.
Il sort ici, monsieur. C'est bien.
Good boy. Meet me after the program, and we look at the postcards together.
The patron of the arts. Jimmy, don't you get any calls from Washington anymore?
Indubitably. Why, just last night, the Secretary of State orders me to Washington. He wants me to get on the train and come there immediately.
Say, traveling by train is pretty hectic these days.
You can say that again.
All right. Traveling by train is pretty hectic these days.
Everywhere you go, wise guys. Howsoever, when I get on the train, I saunters into the dining car. And boy, was it jammed. I bends down to tie my shoelace, and before I could straighten up, the waiter throws a tablecloth over me.
Oh, so what?
So what? Shake hands with the most popular table for two on the Santa Fe.
Tell me, Jimmy, after you got to Washington, what did the Secretary of State want you to do?
Sorry, Junior, it's a secret affair. In fact, it was so secret, he wrote my orders with invisible ink on invisible paper, and then tore it up.
Well, then, how did you find out what your orders were?
I didn't. That's how much of a secret it was. So, accepting the mission with diligence and zeal, the three of us always travel together. I packed my bag and I was off for Alaska before I could say Aurora Borealis.
Oh, you left right away, huh?
No, it took me 2 weeks to say Aurora Borealis. But after I conquered the word, I was jubilant. So I leave for the frozen north with my sled and my dog. For 5 long days, I pulled the sled with the dogs in it.
Jimmy, you're not supposed to pull the sled. The dogs are.
That's what I tried to tell them, but I was outnumbered. So pushing on with my dog sled through the snow, I yelled, Farina, Farina. You see, I don't care for mush. But irregardless, I soon reached an island of friendly penguins. And, Junior, before I knew it, a handsome penguin approached me and was I chagrined.
Why?
He gave me a peck on the schnoz and said, Babe, I'll meet you behind the same iceberg tonight. I went along with the flirtation. Then I slugged him with a soggy mackerel.
Well, I guess after you were busy with the penguins, you continued on your secret mission?
Yes. For weeks I traveled in weather that was 40 degrees below Fahrenheit. And finally I arrived at the appointed place, and who do you think was there ahead of me?
Who?
Umbriago.
Not him again. What was he doing up in the frozen north?
He just found out an easy way to make igloos.
Okay, tell me, how does he make an igloo?
Very simple. He just takes a couple of eggs and glues them together.
A couple of eggs. He must use cold storage eggs.
That's my boy who said that. I wish he hadn't.
That Umbriago. Now you know that you can't go wrong. Why, you can probably take the song.
Roy Bargy and the orchestra now in a Roy Bargy arrangement of I'm Gonna See My Baby.
Roy Bargy in the orchestra playing I'm Gonna See My Baby. The Glendale arrangement with full horn chorus for driving attendance. But enough of this fiddle-faddle and fuddle-dee-dee. Let us go to the culture corner and consult Mr. Gary Moore. Junior, what's on the fire tonight?
Well, James, nowadays the newspapers and airlines are full of appeals from the government for every man to leave non-essential jobs. And a very good thing it is, too. But so far, they haven't said anything about non-essential jobs. Like guys who paint signs in gas stations saying, no gas today. For instance, James, let me tell you tonight the sad case of a candy manufacturer named Botsford Q. Fudge Lolly.
Botsford Q. Fudge Lolly?
Yes.
I shall go and sit on my cactus plant in case your story has no punch.
Thank you. Well, at the age of 55, Botsford Q. Fudge Lolly was a success. He owned the biggest candy factory in the world and had made a fortune selling peppermint tripods for candied cameras. What was more important, he had invented a chocolate-covered hard-boiled egg on a stick, which he called a yolk-sickle. Yes, my friends, he was a happy man. But then one day, tragedy struck. The Manpower Commission held a conference and classified as non-essential the man who licked out Botsford candy pots. What a mess. Thousands of pots were piling up in his candy factory, and Botsford tried everything. He even tried licking out the pots himself.
But he ate so much English toffee, he developed a British accent and had to take out citizenship papers. Botsford, poor man, was desperate. But then, one day, he looked out and noticed a young man standing in front of the candy factory. Hopefully, he addressed him.
Young man, you certainly look thoughtful. What's on your mind? Ah, yes, the non-essential type. Young man, do you realize that for months I've been looking for a pot liquor?
I know. Everybody knows about the liquor shortage. Yeah.
You, young man, are going to be my pot liquor, even if you haven't done a lick of work in years. And he did. And in a short time, the kettles were being cleaned again, and business prospered once more. Oh, Botsford K. Fudge Lolly was happy. He made so much money that with each candy cane he sold, he gave away a pair of candy spats. And the little pot liquor licked so many kettles that in time he started going slightly salt water daffy. Then again, tragedy struck. The little man wanted to quit. He came to Botsford and said,
Mr. Fudge Lolly, since I've been pot licking for you, I got married and have three children.
Well, what has having three children got to do with your quitting?
Well, I don't mind when little Tootsie was born with marshmallow eyebrows. And I didn't mind it when little Taffy was born with a peppermint nose. But when little Bon Bon was born with the tongue 3 feet long, I could have quit.
So, friends, on behalf of this poor man, Botsford K. Fudge Lolly, I make an appeal. Friends, are you non-essential? Can't you even get a non-essential job? Then here is your chance to become a pot licker. There are no complications, no lead tape. Merely send us a 3-inch sample of your tongue. And friends, if you think the predicament of Botsford K. Fudge Lolly is unimportant, remember that someday you may take on extra weight, and then you too will have a pot problem. Thank you.
Quickly now to the romance department in charge of her nibs, Miss Gibbs. What do you say, Georgie?
Well, for one thing, I say I've got a really wonderful new song on top tonight. It's called All of a Sudden My Heart Sings. All of a sudden my heart sings. When I remember little things. The way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, the crazy things we say and do, the fun it is to be with you, the magic thrill that's in your touch. Starlight gleaming in your eyes, remembering all these little things. All of a sudden, my heart sings. Oh, funny way you hold your head, the crazy thing. Often say the way.
alone, remembering all these little things. All of a sudden, my heart
friends, in place of our usual drama,
opera, entitled The Hero Laughed When the Villain Tied Him to the Sawmill, but when he turned on the buzzsaw, he nearly split.
Wait a minute, Junior, wait a minute. What's the idea of an opera?
Well, Jimmy, people think our program needs more culture.
Junior, you wound me deeply when you talk like that. I'm getting plenty of culture. Why, last night I took my girl to see the Desert Song.
The Desert Song? Well, that's a light opera.
Maybe so, but it was dark enough to neck.
I love that kind of dark.
But, Junior, the average man wouldn't give you two pins for culture.
Oh, no?
Gee, I'm sorry I didn't get here sooner, Mr. Moore, but here they are.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Oh, just an average man giving two pins for culture.
See what I mean? See what I mean? Well, let's get on with the opera. My soul, the overture.
The story of our opera tonight concerns a theme as old as time itself. High on a hilltop, there stands a man, ancient, bent, and weary, his rheumy eyes searching the path from town, hoping to see the beloved form of someone he knew a long time ago. And from his aching heart, there springs a song of recollection.
It's been 20 long years since Manelli went away. I never will forget it till my dying day. She ran away from home with a slick city feller with a big bank roll and an even bigger smeller. They left before dinner without any food except the goose liver sandwich that she carried in her snoot. It was cold that night. It was freezing by a hunky. Cold enough to freeze the ears off a brass monkey. I wish she was home again like she was before. Who's that knocking at my door?
Hello there, Paul.
Well, well, well.
Don't you know me anymore? It's your little Nell.
Well, where's that the Fagin guy you married out in Phoenix? Did he send you home when you used up all his Phoenix?
He's a slick-tongued devil, and he lies with ease. He's got more women than the dog's got fleas. He left me on the night that I was most forlorn. The very same night little Punky was born.
Is that fair, Bunky?
He was born in New York.
Well, you should have sent him back and kept the stork. You can't stay in this house for that fair child.
Oh, Father, dear Father, you're a driving me wild.
Hop-chaw, 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 hop-chaw.
And here he comes, folks, the unscrupulous husband who deserted his wife and child. Let's all hiss.
Tracy, Tracy, me proud beauty. Thought you lost me, hammer cutie. Well, now that I've found you, I'll show you no pity. I'm a-taking you with me right back to the city.
Will not.
Will too.
Will not.
Will too. Ever since you left me, I've been living in a quandary. I had to dry my dishes with my last month's laundry. I've been cooking my meals in my derby hatter. You're a-coming back with me, gal. That's a-gatter.
Will not.
Will too.
Will not.
Will too.
Will not.
Will too. Wait a minute. This could replace Parcheesi.
Could not.
Could too.
Could not.
Could too.
Hot cha, hot cha, hot cha.
Now there's a guy in an unessential occupation.
Fagin, Fagin, leave this house. We got no room for the Galder Laubum. I thank you to return to where you was before and pull in your stoffel so that I can close the door.
Just a minute, partner. Hold your hosses and make no remarks about my proboscis. You know I can do you heaps of harm because I own the mortgage on the gosh darn farm.
You can have the farm, but don't take Bunky.
I'll take the farm and Bunky by hunky.
Oh, that's Bunky. Bacon, Bacon, use his a viper. Here I stand, clean, dressed only in my diaper. You perpetrated an atrocious crime, and your life ain't worth a continental dime.
Hot top, hot top, hot top, hot top.
Set to come in down the road. Sounds like a mule with a heavy load.
Ain't no mule, you got done too. Can't you tell from the beds and the council's views? What did he do? Come now, sir.
Well, it ain't it done the right to buy our little Nell?
Did you?
Did not.
Did you?
Did not.
Did you?
Did not.
Wait a minute. We seem to be in a rush.
We are not.
We are too.
We are not. Are
too.
Hot dog. Hot
job, hot job, hot job. Well, I'm the law, I'll settle this case. I'll wipe that smile off in pagan face. He stole his farm and he left his daughter. The fine will be $1 and a quarter.
Which goes to show the price of sin. Tomorrow night, we're going to play each list.
Shave and a haircut, 6 bits.
6 bits? Why, those prices will bring about inflammation.
Shave and a haircut. 4 bits.
4 bits? I'll take this to the OPA.
Shave and a haircut. 5 cents.
5 cents? That's my stealing.
Shave and a haircut. 5 cents.
Plenty of time for color.
To tell you the truth, I'll be lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me how lonely too. I walk alone. They'll ask me why, and I'll tell them I. There are dreams I must gather, dreams with fast in the night. You held me tight. I'll always be near you wherever you are each night. You call us you, no matter how far, just close your eyes, and I'll be still. Please walk alone, and send your love and your kisses beside me. Still you're walking.
Speaking.
Hello, Junior. This is Jimmy.
Jimmy Durante, where are you?
Congratulations. They've just elected Van Johnson the handsomest man in Hollywood.
runner-up.
You're the runner-up?
Yes, I'm runner-up and told Van Johnson he won.
Listen to the Comedy Caravan next week when once again we'll bring you the music of Roy Boggy and his orchestra, songs by Georgia Gibbs, and laughs by
Jimmy Durante
and Gary Moore.
In person.
This is Howard Petrie saying we'll see you there.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.